This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a closer look at human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran.
In Iran, we do not have homosexuals like you do in your country. It is not a problem there.
That was Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad speaking to students at Columbia University in New York in 2007. While the president's remarks elicited laughter, the situation faced by members of Iran's LGBT community is no laughing matter. In fact, being gay can quite often mean a death sentence. Those suspected of being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender are targets of systematic discrimination by the government. Today's guest is Hossein Alizadeh, the Middle East and North Africa Program Coordinator for the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission. Hossein, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure being with you.
So let's start with something that made a lot of press back in 2007. Iran's president told students at Columbia University that there were no homosexuals in Iran. What do you think he meant by that?
He made it very clear after he returned to Iran in 2009. He had a speech at a student gathering in Tehran, and he said specifically that he thinks homosexuality is a form of perversion and sickness. And he repeated the same story again back in September 2011. When he came to the United Nations, he had a press conference, and during one of the Q&A sessions, he told American reporters that homosexuality is a form of perversion. So I really think that in his mind, Ahmadinejad wants to say that homosexuality is not acceptable in Iran, therefore the people that in the West are organized as homosexuals do not exist. And by saying so, he wants to say that the society does not accept them, and therefore they have no rights in the society.
I see. So who is targeted by the government? Is it only members of the LGBT community, or is it more than that? Like those who dress a certain way and appear to be effeminate, or even political dissidents?
A great question. From the legal perspective, they only target the very act of same-sex relations, the intimate relationship between members of the same sex is what they are targeting. However, as we all know, more often than not, those acts are private acts. They are not for public display. So what they do is often this witch hunt. They go after people and assume that they are gay and then start torturing them or pressuring them to confess to things that they have or have not done. And based on the coerced confessions, they try them and punish them sometimes by death penalty. And sometimes what we have seen in Iran, at least two cases in the past decade, that members of political opposition have been charged with sodomy. Again, there is no private plaintiff. There are no evidence of that. They just say, oh, this guy happens to be gay. Well, how do you know? What are the evidence? Did you have any sort of legal standards in order to prove the so-called sodomy? None of that exists, really. And that is exactly one of our problems with the Iranian legal system. There is no transparency in that system. And so anybody can be charged with anything, and outsiders do not have access to the court system in order to verify the information or to talk to defendants or their advocates in order to make sure that they have not been forced to make those confessions.
Tell me about the morality police. Who are they and what do they do?
Well, basically what is happening is that for the past 30 years, the government, feels that they have an obligation to not only monitor the daily life of individuals, but also to sort of chain people and force them to go to heaven. And that whole morality police concept comes from the fact that the government thinks that they have to fight with immoral behavior and correct individuals so that everybody is on the so-called right to paradise. And if they happen to learn that there is a party, a gay party, in your neighborhood, in your house, what they will do is that they come prepared, hoping that hopefully they catch the participants of the party at a compromising situation, and so everybody will be sentenced to death. That actually happened in Isfahan twice in the past few years. They raided several parties, and the police raided the parties along with camera people, hoping that they are going to basically film sexual scenes, and when they figured out that there is nothing happening and just a group of people hanging out, then they start beating everybody wildly, and then they start charging people with drinking alcohol and disorderly behavior, all of the stuff that has really nothing to do with the original charge. And based on that, they made cases for them, they released some of them on bail, they took some of them to court for morality charges. And that's the other story. Whenever the government feels that they cannot charge you with sodomy, they are going to use the morality clause. And morality is such a vague thing. It really doesn't mean anything. There is no plaintiff here. There is really no substantial evidence. There is nothing that basically can be used in the court of law.
And yet many are sentenced to death for sodomy. Are these executions held publicly?
Homosexual executions, they are held private. Unfortunately, sometimes without even the notification for the next of kin or the lawyers, which is required by law. If you want to have an execution, you need to notify the next of kin prior to the execution. The lawyer needs to be present during the ceremony. None of those procedural steps are being, you know, observed. They only let the family members know when the person is dead.
Okay, so tell me about the situation for transgendered individuals.
The government believes that either you are a man or a woman. And in case of transgender people, they don't believe in separate identity. It's a binary system. They think that transgender people are born in the wrong body. And in order to correct that wrong, the government even pays part of the operation, surgical procedure, in order to have the sex change and make them normal. That's the expression that the government used. But during the transition, I've seen again and again cases of abuse. People and the society does not understand the whole transition, even for those people who are willing really to go through that transition. Especially male to female cases, there's a lot of harassment. People are being stopped by the police and harassed because of the way that they dress or they behave.
With regards to the repercussions of getting caught, are gay men and lesbians treated differently?
The Iranian penal code is harsher for men than for women, and that's a very interesting gender analysis in terms of why that is the case. I believe that they think that being masculine is a superior form of being. And if two individuals, two men, engage in homosexual behavior, they degrade themselves and become sort of basically give up that masculine trait and become similar to women. And for that, there is a severe punishment, which is death. For women who are engaged in same-sex relationship, after 3 times, there is death penalty. But for the first 2 times, there are 100 lashes.
Okay, so in your opinion, what can be done to end this persecution of the LGBT community?
There are a number of ways we can basically think to address the issue. One way is by raising awareness, especially that goes to the core of social intolerance towards homosexuality. The more we talk about LGBT rights as part of human rights, the better chances we have to have a tolerant society that not only accepts LGBT people, but also people who would like to pursue their own basically faith by going outside arranged marriages and so on and so forth. So that is one part, and that requires a lot of cultural work, education, basically sharing stories about individuals who have been under pressure from their family or have been discriminated against by the society. The other part of it is by documenting human rights violations. When you have cases that is basically documented, you have a story to tell. Those stories can be shared with members of the community. That way you can raise awareness, but also that brings about accountability by people who perpetrate violence against LGBT individuals. And by empowering the LGBT community to document discriminations and injustice against them, we can basically empower them to protect themselves in the future, to be stronger, to have a narrative to share.
Hossein, thank you so much for joining us today.
It has been my pleasure being with you today.
That was Hossein Alizada, the Middle East and North Africa Program Coordinator for the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission. You can find out more about his work at iglhrc.org. That's all for this edition. For more news about human rights issues in Iran, visit our website at iranhumanrights.org. Join us next time for the Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening. Thank you.